Our Father, who art in heaven, you are majestic and merciful. You are far above us and ready to come to us. You have plans for the whole earth, even for the universe. And yet you care for us, even in the smallest details. You are King and our Father. Hallowed be your name. Make your great and holy name to be honored and treasured above all things, especially deep in our own hearts and everywhere in the world. Your kingdom come. Cause your sovereign authority and wisdom to hold sway at all times in every place on earth and in the deepest parts of our own souls. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Grant that your all-wise, all-good, all-just, all-holy will would be done throughout the world the way the angels do it perfectly and joyfully in heaven, and make it a reality in each of us. Give us this day our daily bread. We are not asking for riches, but for enough to live. We want to be healthy and to have a mind and body that work. Sustain us that we might accomplish what you call us to do. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. We are sinners and need to be forgiven every day. We know we don't deserve it. We ask for mercy. Forgive us. Draw us into the freedom of your love, the love you gave when your Son died in our place. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We don't want to go on sinning. Keep us back from the entanglements of overpowering temptation. Guard us from Satan, from all his works and all his ways. Grant us to walk in holiness before you all our days. We pray this in the name of the one who taught us to pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Matthew chapter 6. Today, we're continuing and ending our series to start the new year. Last week, we began our series called Intentional, and we looked at God's Word and what it is, and we simply asked the question, if God's Word is all that He says it is, and if He is really actively speaking through His Word, why aren't we seeking Him more through His Word? Finished with encouragement, a prayer to make us more hungry for His Word, and encouragement for us as individuals to get in His Word more, or to just actually get in His Word regularly for the first time in our lives. This morning, we're going to step into the subject of prayer. And I mulled over this week and prayed over where we should go in the Word to look at prayer. I told the Lord several times, we looked at Matthew 6 last spring. Do we really need to go there again? And I just felt like it was a resounding yes, we need to go there again. And we'll look at it from a bit of a different angle this morning. But before we even do that, I just want to say this. We worship a God who sent His only Son into our world to put on flesh. His eternal Son that was there at the beginning. It was created for Jesus, through Jesus, by Jesus, held together by Jesus. And Jesus came to us, put on flesh, became a man for us. He lived a perfect life, though none of us have. He died on a cross, so all of us deserve that, and He did not. And then 3 days later, He walked out of the grave, conquering sin and death for all those who have placed faith in Him. So my question and statement and then question is this. My statement is this. Those who have placed faith in Jesus have the glorious and wonderful privilege of coming to our Heavenly Father as our Father with all of our requests, our cares, our anxieties in prayer. Those of us who have not placed faith in Jesus, we don't have that right, but we can cry out to Him for salvation, not based on anything we've done, but based on everything Jesus has done. And He will save us. He will adopt us as His child. And then we can go, our Father. So before we even dive into Matthew 6 this morning, my question for you is this. Have you called upon Him for salvation? If you have, praise God. You can continue to call upon Him as your Father for eternity. If you haven't, then consider the invitation extended to you today. It's not to pray the right way today. It's to simply just fall on your knees, surrender your life to Him, believe in His life, death, and resurrection, and He will save you. Praise God. Now, Matthew chapter 6. We find all over God's Word examples of godly people praying, repentant, humble, surrendered people praying and worshiping the Lord through prayer. We find specific teaching on prayer in different places, most especially in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, where we'll camp out today. We find the example of the early church praying throughout the book of Acts in the New Testament. We find encouragement about prayer and how to pray. We're told to be devoted to prayer by the Apostle Paul. We're told to pray unceasingly by the Apostle Paul. And we can ask this question, but Lord, You say all these things about prayer, but how often do You want me to pray? At what time of day should I pray? Is it daily? Is it weekly? Is it just over my meals? Is it some kind of state of mind? What is it, Lord? And we don't find a direct answer to that, but we do find very clear and concise teaching from the mouth of Jesus in Matthew 6. We see how to pray. And I want us to ask this question at the end of our time in the Word this morning. If we pray the way that Jesus taught us to pray, if we're not praying daily, and I want you to come to the conclusion of that answer after we spend time looking at the way Jesus taught us to pray. So, are you ready? Let's pray. God, we come before You now to ask what Dustin has already asked, Lord, that You would just open our eyes, open our ears to Your Word, to hear You speak. Remove the calluses from our hearts. Lord, we've all come here for one reason or another today, but I pray that we would all leave here changed by Your Word, more like You because of Your Word. Pray that some would leave here, coming here dead in their transgressions, leaving here alive in Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would work among us right now. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to begin in verse 9. This is a huge portion of teaching from Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount. In the middle of it, he teaches on prayer. And he begins in verse 9. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We find, and we could say many things about these verses, verses 9 through 13. We're going to say four things this morning. We're going to see what kind of heart with which we should pray. And the first thing we see is this, that when we pray, we should pray with a surrendered heart. A surrendered heart. Look at these words that Jesus teaches us to pray with. And he's not teaching us a word-for-word formula. He is teaching us how to pray. Pray then like this, with this kind of attitude, this kind of heart, a surrendered heart. Our Father. Now, in our minds, and most especially in the Jewish mind, the people that Jesus was speaking to, there's a very clear relationship between a father and a child. One in which the child obeys the father, right? Where the father has a specific kind of authority over his child. So right off the bat, the first word is loaded with a ton of other meaning. He loves us. He provides for us. He directs us. He leads us through life as our father. All those things. But one of the clear things is that if we pray to our Father, we are giving up something. Our authority. We're saying, I'm your child, Father. You are my Father. You have authority over me, and I want you to show me the way to go. A surrendered heart. He goes on to say, it's not all the only thing he prays. Verse 10, he says, your kingdom come. Now, if it's his kingdom, what is he? A king, right? And especially in their mind, it's harder for us to understand in the country we live in because we don't have a king. But for them, it was very easily. They were living under the rulership of Rome, where there was one man in power, and everyone bowed their knee to him. So when they say, your kingdom come, Father, they're also, again, recognizing his authority over them. They're bowing their knee to him, his kingship, his authority, his sovereignty in their life. Surrendering to him. A surrendered heart. When we pray with a surrendered heart. Do you see this here in these words? Our Father, your kingdom come. God is... Christian, hear this. If you're not a Christian here today, it still applies to you. God is the supreme authority, trumping all other authority, most especially me and my authority over my life, and you and your authority over your life. Our Father, your kingdom come. Not mine, yours. This is how we come to the Lord. Every time we pray, on our best days, we come to the Lord under his authority, surrendered to his will in our lives, on our best days. Father, thank you for the family you've given me. Thank you for the friends you've given me. Thank you for the health, the home, the blessings that you've given me in my life. Father, your will be done with all of those things. On our worst days, in the midst of tragedy and heartbreak and long seasons of grief, we come to him with a surrendered heart. Father, you're the one that's in control. I don't understand. But you've placed me here in this situation. Your will be done. Your kingdom come in my life, in the midst of these things that feel so chaotic and so unfair in my life right now, with a surrendered heart. When we pray for others, we pray with a surrendered heart. When we confess our sins, we pray with a surrendered heart. You with me? We also see, we pray with a surrendered heart, but we also see that when we pray with a humble heart. Look at what Jesus tells us in verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread, beginning of verse 12, and forgive us our debts. Verse 13, lead us not into temptation. Jesus teaching them to recognize that the very bread on their table, the food that you will eat when the preacher finally gets done preaching today, the food that we will eat, the very crumbs of it left on our plate comes from our Heavenly Father. Father, give us this day what we need, the sustenance we need for our bodies, but not only that, the spiritual things I need, the patience I need to correctly lead my children, the love and grace I need to look the people in the eye and love them, even though I can barely stand the sight of them. To truly love them. Lord, all that I need belongs to you. You are my Father, and I believe that you will provide all that I need. So this day, on this day, please, Father, provide all I need. There is humility in that kind of prayer. Recognizing, I don't have it, he does. And if I'm going to have it, he's going to have to provide it for me. A humble heart. Do you see it? Down to the temptation in our lives. Lead us not into temptation. Father, if I am not going to walk into temptation today and sin, it's not going to be because of my own effort and strength. It's going to be because of you. So, Father, please, lead me not in temptation. And if I find myself in the snares of temptation, give me strength to resist for your name's sake. If I don't sin in the midst of temptation, church, it's not because of me. It's because of my Father. And if you don't, it's not because of you. It's because of your Father. He has all we need. All of it. There's thankfulness in this kind of prayer. Like a man coming to his boss every day. Boss, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have this job. I wouldn't be able to provide for my family. He may not say the word thank you. It's fine if he does, but he may not say it. But there is thanksgiving in his attitude and his heart. And when we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, you have all I need. The cattle on 1,000 hills is yours. You're the creator of it all. You have all of it. Lord, today, please provide what I need. That is a humble, thankful, grateful heart. When we pray like this every time. On our worst days, God, I don't know how I'm going to get to the end of this day, to the end of the season. I don't know how my life is going to continue. I can't imagine my life continuing after this has happened. But Lord, you have all I need. So please provide. On our best days, Lord, my house is full. There's a roof over my head. I have all that I need, and it came all from you. Thank you. We pray with a humble heart and a surrendered heart. You with me? Surrendered and humble heart. And notice the joy in these things. Some may say, I don't want to surrender my life to God who's just going to dictate me. But you got to see the love he has for us. We are surrendering to him as our Father. We are humbling ourselves before him, not just as the one who has it all, but will provide all that we need. There's such joy to be had in that kind of praying. A surrendered heart, a humble heart, and a repentant heart. Verse 12, Jesus teaches us to cry out to God for forgiveness. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. The image here is a sinner in an eternal debt with God. I'm a sinner. And because of that, I owe God my life, and I could never repay it. Because it is an eternal debt. The same goes for each and every person in this room. That's why Matthew recorded those words of Jesus, forgive us our debts, forgive us our sin, Father. Recognizing something in this repentant attitude, recognizing something that, one, I've done something wrong, and I can't do anything about it. I can't undo my sin. I can't undo my debt towards the Lord. I can't fix it. I can't make it better. I recognize that with a repentant heart. And two, that sin, that debt, isn't just with anyone, it's with God. I owe God Almighty because of my sin. I'm seeking forgiveness from God. And three, God did do something about it. On this side of the cross, we come to the Lord with the hope and the joy, knowing that Jesus paid all of our debt with his perfect life, his sacrificial death on the cross, his blood being spilled out to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness, conquering death by walking out of the grave 3 days later. God did do something about it. We come to him with a repentant heart every time we pray, Lord, forgive me for where I failed you. Specifically here and specifically there. And in general, Lord, I have a sinful heart, so I need you to forgive me on my best days and on my worst days. You're the only one who can do anything about it, Father. So please do something about it. Thank you that you have done something about it. A surrendered heart, a humble heart, a repentant heart. And one more. You still hanging with me? And one more. A surrendered heart, a humble heart, a repentant heart. Before I go to the last one, just again, the joy. Knowing that we are coming to God our Father who loved us enough to send his only Son so that we might could cry out to him as his children based on what his Son has done for forgiveness. There's joy. There's joy in praying like this. With a repentant heart. And finally, a worshipful heart. When we pray with a worshipful heart. Look at verse 9, where he starts. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It is two things at once. Hallowed be your name. It is proclaiming God's name is holy. Jesus, your name is above all other names. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. God, you are majestic, you're holy, you are the only thing, the only one that wasn't created. You created all and everything. It's proclaiming that at the same time as praying that his name will be known as that. Because not everyone recognizes that. Hallowed be your name, a worshipful heart. This is where prayer begins, it's where prayer continues, it's where prayer ends. an acknowledgement of God's holiness and our prayer that His holiness would be made known. What we've already sung twice this morning, we'll sing again before we leave today. Father, glorify Your name. So when we pray, we worship. We worship Him for who He is. He is God Almighty, the Creator, for what He's done. He has sent His Son forth for what He's doing. He is currently putting the breath in our lungs, keeping our heart beating, holding the universe together, and what He will do. His Son is coming back for us, and so many other things. We worship Him every time we pray. In the midst of our best days, God, You are God. In the midst of our worst days, in the midst of tragedy, God, You are God. When we pray with a surrendered, humble, repentant, worshipful heart. So I want us to think about something for a moment. And I want you to truly think about this. Don't just wait for me to answer it. I want you to truly think about this. Is my heart truly surrendered? If I only come to my Father in heaven once a month, intentionally. Is my heart truly humble? If the only time I come to Him in thanksgiving for what I have is mindlessly over my food. Is my heart truly repentant? If the only time I find myself crying out for forgiveness to my Lord is when I'm in the midst of dealing with the fallout, the public fallout of my sin, or private within my family. Is my heart truly worshipful if the only time I find myself praising the Lord for who He is, what He's done, what He's doing, what He will do, is when I'm on the spiritual mountaintop? If those are the only times I come before God, am I really praying the way that Jesus has commanded me to pray? I want us to think about this a little bit further. As you mull those questions over in your mind and your heart. Our access to the throne of the King of Kings is blood bought. With the blood of His Son. Our access to come to God Almighty as our Father, surrendered, my life is Yours. Make Your kingdom reality in my heart. Father, may Your truth and Your love and Your kingdom abound in my family, at my workplace, in my church family, in our town. That access to come to Him is blood bought with the blood of Jesus. We didn't earn it. We weren't born with it. It was bought for us. Our access to come to the Creator of the universe as our Father, humbly. All I have is Yours, and all I need is Yours. Please provide for me today everything, physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, everything I need today. Father, please provide it. That access is blood bought with the blood of Jesus. Our access to come to the Judge of all creation as our Father in repentance. Father, I know what I've done is awful. I know I've come to You time and time again in confession, and You forgive me. Please forgive me again. That access is blood bought. Our access to come to the throne of the King of Kings as His son or daughter, participate in worship with angelic armies praising His name. That access is blood bought. So let me ask these questions again. Is my heart truly surrendered? If I'm only approaching that throne with blood bought access once a month, is my heart truly humble if the only time I recognize him meeting my needs is mindlessly over my food? Is my heart truly repentant if the only time I'm approaching his throne about my sin is in the midst of the fallout from my sin? Is my heart truly worshipful if the only time I worship his name is on the spiritual mountaintop? And I would say no. It's not. When? How often should we pray? I don't know. Often enough that my heart stays surrendered, stays humble, stays repentant, and stays worshipful. For me, that's every day. It has to be. It's not every day, but it needs to be. And I'm betting it's the same for you. The newness of this year is kind of worn off. Maybe you've gotten used to writing 2019 on your checkbook already. But we're still at the beginning of this year, and I still want to challenge you just like I did last week. My prayer for us is that as a church and as individual Christians, is that our prayer life would become something else this year. That by the end of this year, we couldn't imagine not spending time in conversation with our Heavenly Father with a surrendered heart, a humble heart, a repentant heart, and a worshipful heart. And for some of you, that's a reality now, and praise God for that. For some of you, it's not. You've tried over and over again, but it's not. Or it was at the beginning of this year, 2018, and it's not now. But here we are at the beginning of a new year. And I want to ask you this morning to pray and ask God for this kind of prayer life in 2019. And I want to ask you, if you can't get out of your pew, that's okay, but I want to ask you if you would, to just for the good of your own heart and for the good of our church family, if you can, come forward and pray. And cry out to God in this way, just asking him, Lord, do a work in my heart to make me want to spend time with you every day. Help me to arrange my schedule in that way. Help me to prioritize time with you above all else so that my heart truly is surrendered to you. So in a moment, Miss Karen's going to come and pray. You can come on up, Miss Karen. She's going to come and play. And we are going to pray. And I'm going to invite you to come down and pray. There is nothing special specifically about this area, but sometimes it does our hearts good to come and pray and actually bow our knees while we're bowing our hearts. So consider that an invitation to you. If you can't do that, that's okay. But as a church this morning, let's ask the Lord for that. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can come forward during this time or after the service. And we would love to show you what it means to give your life to Christ with the word so that today can be the day of salvation for you. I'm going to pray, and then we'll just enter into a time of prayer as Miss Karen plays. God, our access to you is blood bought with the very blood of your Son. We are your children because your Son came for us, lived for us, died for us, rose up from the dead for us. Oh God, what love you have for us. God, may we not miss out on spending time with God Almighty, who we can come to as our Father this year. May in the next few moments, may we cry out to you on behalf of our church family, on behalf of our families, on behalf of our own hearts, Lord. By the end of 2019, may we not be able to imagine a day where we haven't spent time with you with a surrendered, humble, repentant, and worshipful heart. Do a work among us that only you can, Father. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. You can come forward and pray if you'd like.